Well, good morning again. All right, I always do this, but it's because I deal with kids often. I need energy. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. I love it. It's kind of energy I thrive off of. I love that. As I said earlier, my name is Mark Pittenger. I run the kids ministry here at the River Church in Davison. I get the privilege of stepping in for Pastor Justin today. Happy Valentine's weekend to everybody. I hope everybody lived up to the expectations that Saturday brings. As you know, if you've been here, February is Family Month. With a focus this month on honor. So a couple weeks back, we looked at submissive wives, submitting and respecting husbands. Funny story. The Wednesday before that, Justin comes up to me and Alana, and he's like, so are you ready for Sunday? And I'm like, ready for what? And he's like, you're on a schedule to preach Sunday. Well, there was a scheduling mishap, and I was not informed that I was on a schedule to preach about submissive wives. If anybody sitting next to my wife, give me a thumbs up if she's smiling. Give me one of these if she's not. No. But it worked out because last week we talked about husbands. This week we get to talk about kids. So, it just worked out that the kids director gets to talk about kids, right? So, hey, God always has a plan. Whether we see it, whether we know it, we just follow through. So today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you have a Bible, a device, however you follow along, it'll be on the screen. But go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be right at the beginning in verse 1. It's also funny, too. The last couple times I got to come out here and preach, they've given me entire chapters. And they're like, hey, you got this chapter. And I'm like, 30-plus verses. Sweet. This time they're like, hey, you get 3 verses. And I'm like, wow, 3 verses. This one is way more in-depth than those 3 verses than the last 31 or 34 the whole chapter that I had that was like 30-some verses. Anyways, starting in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. 2 key words there, obey and honor. Today, we're going to look at how do they differ and how are they similar. And why is it specific to children? Or is it specific to children, right? Would you guys pray with me and then we're going to get going. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises, your commandments, just everything that you give us, knowing that what you did back in the book of Job, would still have relevance in 2026. Knowing that your plan is perfect, Lord, we gather together and learn what it would be that you would have us to take away. Father, just pray that your spirit takes the lead on this, that it's your words delivered through this message, that it's just my voice they hear. Love you. We lift this up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So obey. The first one here, it says, children, obey your parents. Now, most of us probably think automatically obey means slamming down a hammer, slamming down that hard fist, right? Where you have to obey me. But if we look at it from the original text, the original language, Paul was writing this in Greek. And the word in Greek is hupa akouo, which is actually a compound word. So the first part of it, hupo, means from under, okay? From under. And then the second part, akouo, means to hear or to understand. So hupa akouo means to hear or to understand from under. That second part, akouo, is actually the root word for the English word acoustics. So anybody who knows what acoustics is, it has to do with how we hear something. So as we hear the word obey, it's not so much of we need to bow down and we need to follow through. I mean, there is action there, right? But it's more so, how are we hearing it? And then the first part, the hupo, means we should be hearing it from under. And in essence, it's from under authority. Who is over us in authority? Well, here Paul says, children, obey your parents. So this is an action being taken from under the authority of parents or adults. But we even see that Paul references for the adults, hey, you need to follow through on the authority from under the authority of your government. You need to follow through under the authority of your church leadership. We see that in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Paul says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those who exist have been instituted by God. Remember, this hierarchy is set forth by God. We might not agree with those in the government. We might not agree with those on everything with those in church leadership, but we are to obey under their authority, from under their authority. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, Paul says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Again, we are to listen, we are to learn, we are to understand from those who have been placed in authority over us. Now, Paul specifies it to children here. And we also see Paul doubles down on this command to children in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, where he says, children, obey your parents in everything. And then he gives a reason. He said, for this pleases the Lord. I don't know about you guys, but I would really like that if everything I did pleased the Lord, right? Obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, so there's that next little spot. It says, in the Lord. So we learn that we need to be listening from underneath the authority of those who are above us. But then it says, in the Lord. What this is saying is this is where we establish that foundation of honor. This is where that submission comes in, right? It has nothing to do with if the parents are a believer or an unbeliever. It's saying, kids, you should be obeying your parents. But it don't stop at the kids. Because the deeper part of this, when we get into obeying from under the authority, is parents, you should be doing your job as a parent in the Lord. We should be parenting from under the authority of the Lord. As we learned over the last couple weeks, Ephesians 5:22 told us, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Ephesians 5:25 told us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So we see this submission of wives to their husbands and in respect to in the Lord. We see this sacrifice and this love of the husbands to the wives in the Lord. And now it's saying, kids, obey your parents in the Lord. What that means is whether you're an adult, whether you're a kid, whether you're in between, we should be doing what we're doing from under the authority in the Lord. But the big thing is even though this command is, it says children, parents, adults, teens, we still have a role in this because the kids are going to follow our lead. The kids see you being a godly wife, a godly mother, a godly woman. They're going to follow that lead. They see you being a godly dad, a godly husband, a godly man. They're going to follow that lead. I often think of parents saying, do as I say, not as I do. But then when you watch those kids grow up, they do as they do and not what they were told, right? We have to be parenting. We have to be adulting from under the authority of the Lord. If we want our kids to be kids from under the authority of the Lord. I hope that made sense because it made sense in my head. So I challenge you, if you are in that position, are you fully bought into that command? Are you fully bought into, I am going to do this from the position underneath the authority over top of me? Why is that important, though? In 2022, there was an article written titled Seven Threats in Our Times by a man named Dr. Del Tackett. And in it, he says this: of all the social institutions designed by God, I suppose none is under greater attack than that of the family. And this shouldn't surprise us, for destroying relationships is the ultimate scheme of Satan. And it is here we find the most intimate. Indeed, it seems that the entirety of the world, the entirety of the flesh, and the entirety of the enemy are today aligned against the biblical family concept. And the family is the heart of a culture. We can look at society from our biblical worldview and see that it's crumbling around us, especially within the family. And it's crumbling faster than ever. We've seen over the last 50 plus years this rise of these ideologies and these theologies that are aimed to destroy the biblical family concept. Got some statistics for you. According to a study done by the World Bank, the birth rate of fertility-aged women, and that was 15 to 59, so women who were capable of having kids, the birth rate was 3.3 kids in 1963. In 2023, it was 1.6. Another study from those same two time frames, 1963 to 2023, showed that single-parent homes in America in 1963 was 9%. In 2023, it was 25%. One in every four households was a single-parent household. Now, this may be an extreme coincidence, but I got one more statistic for you. In 1963, the Supreme Court established a prohibition on state-sponsored prayer and school-sponsored Bible classes in public schools. What does that fancy terminology mean? It means in 1963, God was taken out of public schools. It used to be a mandate that they provided time for kids to pray, and it used to be a mandate that schools provided a Bible class, and it was taught in public schools. In 1963, that was removed from public schools, and in 1963, we see the biblical concept of family immediately starts being attacked, and it's only went downhill from there. Again, probably just a coincidence, but that's what the stats are showing us. So why is that imperative? Why is that important to know that? Because we need to get back to understanding the hierarchy of what a biblical family looks like. We need to start following that hierarchy. Where do we fall at in the line of who is under, whose authority are we under? And ultimately, we have to be an example for our kids if we want our kids to obey in the Lord. Now, you may be sitting here and you may be saying, yes, kids need to obey their parents. But I'm not a kid. I'll make it personal. I'm 43. You think I'm obeying my parents? My mom's here. If you want to ask her, you can ask her. She's sitting in the back. But you understand, if you're an adult, if you're a teenager, you're probably like, maybe. That's why Paul goes into this next part in verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. He says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So here, Paul is quoting one of the Ten Commandments. Well, if we go back to Exodus 20, we see where this commandment is put in place. In Exodus 20, it literally says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land. Why did I go back there? Well, I want you to understand, what does honor mean? And in Exodus, it was written in Hebrew. In Ephesians, it was written in Greek. In Hebrew, the word was kaved, which means to place a heavy or weighted amount, right? It's something that weighs a lot. There's a lot to it. It's massive. It's weighty. It's heavy. In the Greek, the word is tamao, not tomato, tamao, which means to place a high value on something. So if you put the two together, if you put the Hebrew together with the Greek and you put them together, this word honor means we're putting a heavy, a massive, a large amount of value on something. And Paul says, you should be putting this heavy, this massive amount of value on your parents, on your father and your mother. So what we see here is obedience is taking an action. In honor is having an attitude. Honor is the attitude that comes before the action. Honor is the attitude that comes before the obedience. It's the posture we take before we put it into practice. It's more about our approach to the action than it is actually taking the action. See, we can act outwardly in obedience, but not have honor in that obedience, if that makes any sense. And this is actually really relevant. I work at GM, and they picked my plant as a pilot plant for this new program where they're trying to change the culture within the company. So we're the first plant that they came to. And the way they rolled it out is they broke down people, and it's not just shop in the shop, it's people in general, but they broke them down into four people. You have people who will not obey because they don't buy in. You have people who don't buy in, but they still obey because they want to do their job. You have people who, they buy in, they understand it, but they still have a hard time with it, right? And then you have the people who are just all in. They get it, and they're going to do it. You get to that third level down, where they might do it, but they don't necessarily agree with it. They might obey, but they don't necessarily want to honor. Why? Right? They're going to follow through in the action, but they don't necessarily have the right attitude. Here it's about having the right attitude when it comes to our parents, honoring our parents. So, gut check, how do we feel deep down about our parents? Maybe there's resentment. Maybe there's anger. Maybe it's love, joyfulness. How is our tone when we think about our parents, when we talk to our parents? Is there passion in the tone of our voice? Is there true joyfulness in the way that we speak? Or is it aggressiveness? Just thinking about them makes your blood pressure rise. Just thinking about them makes you want to raise your voice. What kind of words are we using? Are we being honest with them and with ourselves? Are we saying things that we just think they want to hear? Are we telling them what we think they need to hear? Maybe you don't want to hurt their feelings. Are you really being honest with them and yourself if you're just doing that? See, honor comes down to having the right words, having the right tone, having the right attitude. But all of those things start with having the right heart. Maybe you're sitting here and you're going, but you don't know what my parents did. You don't know how my dad was. You don't know how my mom was. You still honor them in your approach to what they taught you, in the good and in the bad. For an example, my cousin is married to a guy. His dad was an alcoholic. Pretty sure he was abusive, if not physically, definitely verbally. He honors his alcoholic father by not drinking. He said, I'm not going to put my kids through what my dad put me through. And that's honoring his father, because his father taught him a lesson in that. So no matter where your relationship stands with your parents, you can still honor them. You can still say, hey, you were absolutely horrible, but guess what? You taught me how not to be. And for that, I thank you. Maybe it's so deep that maybe it pushes you to do something huge. Maybe you were abused by a parent, and it pushes you to the point where you open up an organization that stands up for kids abused by parents. Whatever you do, it's honoring them if you've taken a lesson out of it and you use it for good, right? The good and the bad can be used to honor the parents. Now, while this is going to be challenging, it's not going to be easy. This is what we are supposed to do, because it is commanded by God. It's a commandment set forth by God. As I said, Paul is quoting the fifth commandment out of the Ten Commandments when he says, honor your father and mother. But Jesus breaks it down a little more in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. Now, to paint the picture, Jesus just got done dealing with the Sadducees, one half of the political religious government of the day. He was talking with them. They were trying to trip him up. Jesus is Jesus, so he knew what was coming. But the Pharisees are watching this take place. They're the other half. And one of the Pharisees comes to Jesus, and this is where we pick up in Matthew 22, 36. He says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus replies to him and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great first commandment. Love God. But then he goes on to say, and there's a second like this, or like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. So if we want to paraphrase that, Jesus is saying, love God and love others. What he did was he took the Ten Commandments and he split them into two groups. Because if you look at the Ten Commandments, Commandments 1 through 4 specifically deal with loving God. And if you look at Commandments 5 through 10, it specifically deals with loving others. Now, the first commandment in the category of loving others is number 5, which we already know is honor your father and mother. So the first thing we should be teaching our kids about the commandments, about loving others, starts in the home. It starts in the home. When kids are learning how they should be treating others, it starts in the home, and it starts with our example. Are they seeing godly men and godly women in the home? They need the godly influence. We need to be the example that they establish their foundation of honor on. And as I said, this commandment goes beyond just the youth. This commandment lasts our entire lifetime. We should be honoring our parents. And then going back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 3, Paul says, in verse 2 he says, there's a promise that comes with this. So in verse 3 he quotes that promise. He says, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Here's the promise. Honor your parents. Place a massive amount of value on your parents. And you will have a good, long life in the Lord. Remember those three key words. In the Lord. Everything starts from under the authority of God. That means doing what is right by his standards, not our standards, God's standards. Placing value in your parents for both the good and the bad. But most importantly, going back to our hearts, we have to have a forgiving and a repentful heart. Because that is what God gave us. God gave us the commandment to honor, to place value, and then obey. But so we have this thing back in kids, in the kids' curriculum. We go through all this different stuff. And then at the end of the Bible lesson, there's a section called Point to Jesus. And basically what that does is it says, everything we just learned, how does that point to Jesus? Every verse of the Bible points to Jesus. So how does this point to Jesus? Commanding children to obey their parents, commanding children to honor their father and mother, how does this point to Jesus? In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, we see Jesus honoring and obeying his father. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's down there, he's praying. And he knows what's about to happen. He knows he's about to get arrested. He knows he's about to get beaten. He's about to get mocked. He knows he's about to get crucified on a cross for nothing he did, but for everything that we've done. He knows this. And in that moment of Jesus praying, we get to Luke 22:42, and he says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You can amen that. Not my will, but yours be done, Father. He's saying, God, I don't necessarily understand, but he did. He's just like, this was the human part of him, right? This is Jesus going, oh, I wish there was another way, but I know there's not. These guys can't get it right. I did, so I'm going to take this cup because that's your will, Father. I'm going to honor you. And I'm going to obey, and I'm going to follow through because I'm under your authority. Even when it's hard, we need to obey. Even when it's hard, we need to honor our parents. Jesus sets that example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, looking at the first two verses there, 22 and 23, it says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting in himself, trusting himself to him who judges justly. While he was reviled, he did not revile in return. While he was being picked on, while he was being spit on, while he was being mocked, he stayed silent. Because he was obeying and honoring his father. While he was suffering, while he was being beaten, while he had nails driven into his hands and his feet, he remained silent. He did not fight back because he was obeying and honoring his father. Why is that important example? We'll go to verse 24. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on that tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. He's saying, look, we've given you commandments, but it's hard for you to live up to them, so I'm going to do it for you. I had a conversation with a coworker back in January, and it's funny because I walked in the team room, And she's sitting in there talking to this older guy, and the older guy is kind of evangelizing to her. He's like, he's kind of witnessing to her. He's talking to her, and she's just like, I don't understand this. And she's just firing off all these questions at him. And I'm trying to mind my own business, but I'm still eavesdropping. I'm sitting at my desk. I'm doing some work, but I'm listening. And finally, the old guy, his name's Ivory, he goes, "Hey, Mark, what are your thoughts?" Never thought you'd ask. So I start talking. We start talking, and my first thing was, "Where are you at with Jesus?" And she's like, "I don't know." And she rattled this off. She's like, "I don't understand this, and I don't understand that, and I don't understand this." And we talked our way, and she talked herself in a circle, because the last thing she said to me before I walked out was, "Well, then we're just not good enough, right?" And I was like, "Bingo! That's why we need Jesus. That's why Jesus bore our sins on that cross. He honored and he obeyed his Father because we couldn't." But when it comes back to the kids, when it comes back to the future of our society, we need to be doing our best to set an example. Because while the commandment here is for children to obey their parents, children to honor their father and mothers, they're only going to follow in our footsteps. So, kids, teens, young adults like myself, middle-aged, or even the far more experienced, where are we at with our parents? Are we honoring our parents? Did we obey our parents? Do we obey our parents? In the good and in the bad. Because that's what's commanded of us. Now, I don't know about all of you, but I know that I hope when my kids talk about me or think about me, I hope that it's with honor. I hope that it's with value. But I'm okay being just honorable mention for my kids as long as Jesus is the MVP. I'm okay with just being honorable mention as long as Jesus is the star of the show. I'm okay being in the background. Because he gave that example. Now it's up to us to follow through and obey and honor. And I titled this sermon, Godly Action and Godly Attitude. Because that's what Paul is talking about here. Obedience is a godly action. Honor is a godly attitude. I challenge you to examine yourself about that. Would you pray with me? Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your commandments. Father, I just pray that this, as you say in your word, preach the word and it will not come back void. So Father, I just pray that your message was delivered today in the way that you wanted it delivered. Father, I pray that you take this message and you're pulling at the heartstrings of somebody who needed to hear it. As we go about the rest of our day, the rest of our week, until we can gather again, Father, just pray that this message marinates in their mind and marinates in their soul, and that you just work in a way that only you can. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus obeyed and honored you when he sacrificed himself on that cross. Father, as we continue through our worship, As we go about the rest of our day, we ask that you watch over and guide us and keep us safe. We love you, Lord. We lift this all up to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, guys.
River Church, if you don't mind, stand with us as we close out.